It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I forgot what I had for this one.
I was just going to say Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, except Craig.
This is our 12th one. Number 12.
Oh, man. On the 12th day of Thanksgiving, we gave to you another podcast.
I don't suppose, we always talk about this, but I don't suppose anybody listens slash watches on the day. They're too busy, right? They'll do it. Like some people do listen on Thursdays, but not on this Thursday. Surely not.
I've been pushing for years now. Get the whole family gather around the speaker.
The magical talking hat is a Thanksgiving tradition. I mean,
it is
12 years. You've got a hat. That's got to be a tradition. Surely.
I mean, so you get into the weird numerology and shit of our podcast. And I, like, as with most things about you, I don't share it, but I get it.
Mm.
Except the one that seems to tickle you the most is that we always have an episode on Thanksgiving.
I love it.
Yes, but also it's just Thursday. Like, everything that happens every Thursday will happen on Thanksgiving.
And what else is there besides Thanksgiving? It always happens on a Thursday.
I don't know. There's probably people who have appointments every Thursday. I mean, somebody has to give themselves their weekly injectable. Or I'm just like, the thing that you're so delighted about is just that our weekly podcast happens on Thursday.
Yes, but also that means we always have one on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's our thing.
Thursday is our thing.
It's cool to have a thing like that.
Well, this is a thing. This whole podcast is a thing. So, you know what? I'm not even going to do this because we're being calm now. We're having family time. I might not even swear this episode. I don't fucking know. But everybody come together. You're all very full now. And we're going to do an hour of ASMR so y'all can have a nice nap. So I want to find some paper to crinkle or like, well, it's not close enough to the speaker. I don't know. Hello everyone and welcome to Magical Doggy Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that's always got an episode on Thanksgiving. Do you know why? I'll give you a hint. It doesn't involve Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. That's Dora the Explorer, this shit here. Can you think of why it always happens on Thanksgiving? No. Not a love of turkey. No. No.
You know, we could skip this one Thursday out of the year if we wanted to. We could skip it. We could say, hey, we're not going to have a podcast on Thanksgiving. It's a holiday. We could do that, but we don't.
I mean, we've never done that on any other one. I'm sure in 12 years we've had at least one Christmas.
Yes, we have.
I don't retain any of this, so I don't.
This is what I'm saying. We could always skip a Thursday that has a holiday if we wanted, but we don't.
We can't. No, we can't skip shit. Like that I'm into. Like, I'm super into, like, every Thursday you've had something somewhere
One time it was a repeat episode, but you still had it. We've never missed a Thursday. Really. That I'm impressive. The fact that that also is the turkey day.
I think it's awesome.
I mean, it's not, but I'm not opposed. Here we are. And it means next week I don't got to talk to you. So
I'm yeah, on actual ahead. Thanksgiving. That's right.
Yes. So, all right. So no one is coming to your place on Thanksgiving.
I don't think so.
And you are not going in on Thanksgiving.
I might be doing schoolwork, actually.
In what way within your household might anyone, including you, notice it is Thanksgiving? On Thanksgiving.
Well, I mean, I might watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I might watch that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there could be a food, some kind of food thing happening that you would, might look and go, oh, yeah, that's, yep, they're having Thanksgiving there. I could be doing school on Thursday, honestly, on Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving school?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I'm thinking about not, like, no, don't
do that.
When
do you graduate? Like, I think I speak for all the listeners, too, when I say this was funny at first, but we're kind of getting tired of it. When are you done?
That's what I want to know.
Album. It's funny at first, but now.
A year and a half still.
Oh!
Well, 9 months of that is going to be kind of on the job type of thing. So,
and then
so it's not. Leave. It's not a year of, like, textbooks and stuff like that. That's only 9 more months.
All right. So once I have this baby, you'll be done.
But then I'm probably, if I get admitted to a doctoral program somewhere, I didn't think I would do this, but I'll probably have like a long break between, like I'd probably start in January of 2025 or something, even though I'm finishing this program in June of 2024, I'd probably go ahead and
also, you're probably going to get a real job at some point.
No, I will. Yeah, I'll have a job.
That's going to fuck this up. I just realized.
A little bit.
I mean, you probably won't have your Tuesdays at or Thursdays at 2 available anymore.
No, probably not. That's pretty prime. So, therapy real estate right there.
Approximately 2024, we are going to be auditioning for new co-hosts. If anybody wants to throw their hat in the ring. I don't know if legally I'm allowed to ask up front in the interview if you plan on becoming a therapist, but I will be asking that. So future therapists and current therapists need not apply.
Retired, maybe? Retired therapist?
Yeah, that's
fine. A former therapist.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't want anybody with a job. That's my fault. I, as we speak, am at the in-laws. Eating a lot of pie.
Mm.
There's always a lot of pie there. I don't know that anything particularly unusual or interesting it's going to happen over that time. There's a little bit. So we'll be heading over midday Wednesday, but we won't be going to my in-laws yet. We'll be going to my sister-in-law's house because my sister-in-law's best friend in the world, who is also a friend of the family, we all know her and love her, and her partner are coming. They live in Florida, but they're going to come and visit because her family's here and everything around that time. So that Wednesday we're all going to go and see them, and that'll be cool.
Oh, that's nice.
And we'll hang out there, and then we'll go and I think I've said before, some of my in-laws, my one of my sister-in-laws and her husband and their family do Thanksgiving Day with his family and then come and do Thanksgiving evening with us, which A means we eat Thanksgiving dinner pretty late in the day, which I'm fine with. And B means they essentially eat two Thanksgiving dinners. And this is a rough time.
Yeah, I bet.
They have to pace themselves accordingly. But yeah, for the most part, I'll just be hanging out as I am wont to do, which is good because, as we've established, not super into the holidays. So,
well, we might, I mean, since we're not going anywhere and nobody's coming here, we might switch. I mean, I don't know when we're going to switch our decor over. We usually do our Christmas decorations or like after Thanksgiving because we're not here. But if we're going to be here, and then we're going to have people over on the weekend, because that's when our kids hate us day is, Saturday following. We might switch our decor over on that day. So we still have like fall and even Halloween oriented decorations up, clear up until Thanksgiving and after. And then we put up a tree and then we put up Christmas decorations. They're really winter decorations. There's not a lot in our decorations that like, we don't have Santa Claus and we don't have a crash and we don't have, you know, some of the stuff that specifically references Christmas, but we have a lot of winter themed decor we put up, and we keep that up clear until February. So,
a little imp on my shoulder just thought, let's just start doing seasonal decorations, but the wrong season. So, like, right now, put up, like, a bunch of Easter stuff. and just always be off. Two problems with this plan. One, I still don't want to do it. So, and two, nobody comes to our house, so nobody would get to see the joke. So why would I bother?
Well, we do it for us, really. I mean, only recently have we had people coming over on a fairly regular basis to see it. I mean, we like to see it.
Is Haley Mills still alive?
I don't know.
I feel like she's going to have to play you in the movie about your life. Literally. No one short of the actual original Pollyanna will do. We used to do it for ourselves. I just like to see the glint in my wife's eye when she sees this wreath over the couch that literally no other soul will see.
I'm taking this as a compliment. You realize that?
I would retract the statement if you weren't. The person I made it to would definitely find it as a compliment.
I wish I was that positive, but I'm not always. Sometimes I'm not positive at all. But
you know, nowadays, when I think of Haley Mills, you know the first thing that comes to mind? Of course you don't. You're too old. Saved by the Bell.
Was she in that?
No. But before Saved by the Bell,
yeah,
there was a sitcom called Good Morning, Miss Bliss, in which Haley Mills played a teacher named Miss Bliss at a school somewhere in the Midwest, and several of her students were playing characters from Saved by the Bell, and the principal was the same actor and same character as Saved by the Bell. And then I think after one season they changed the name of the show to Saved by the Bell. They cut out Haley Mills, or maybe she just left, and the whole thing moved to a Southern California location. Which means within the show's continuity, several students from a Midwestern school all moved to Southern California, and their school principal went with them and became principal at the new school. I don't believe it is addressed that way, but that's how it is. Yeah, no, in the first season of what was Saved by the Bell. It was called Good Morning, Miss Bliss, and she was the teacher, and she was usually the one who taught them. She was usually the one who had to give the speech near the end about why what they did was wrong and how they should be better people or whatever. And because I'm of the right age, that's all. I mean, immediately I think of all the other. Haley Mills had a long and storied career and would not want to be remembered for that. But that is always the first thing that pops in my head. I'm like, oh yeah, the teacher for the first season of Saved by the Bell. So that's weird. I'm just spinning my wheels because we only have one question, and I think it's from Azure Talon, so it's not going to be super useful. But I mean, let's get to it, I guess. Let's do this.
You want me to do it?
Yeah. Sorry. A week ago, aka just before this, I mentioned I didn't bother to get out the thing to read. I didn't do it during the 30 seconds we weren't on camera. So I still don't have it. I could go get it, but I'm not going to. So there you go.
Azure Talon says, Hatsperts. Like experts, but Hatsperts.
Yeah.
What do you think of my new hat? And he has a photo attached. So this is why you should have your thing, so you could show everybody.
Describe it for me.
It's one of those... Oh, what do you call them? They're, you know, wool caps with it, that where the cap comes up over the bill. You see them a lot in like newsboy hats, I guess. Sometimes they're called. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. That's why no. I said no. I'm looking up the thing. I'm going to look at the picture. I never know what you... Jesus!
No, it's Azure Talon. I mean, I don't know how you thought it was Jesus. He's got glasses.
I mean,
on.
I haven't seen Azure Talon in a while, but I didn't know he'd really gotten into George R.R. Martin cosplay.
Is that what's happening?
That beard! That beard, though! Oh my god! That's impressive shit.
Isn't that like a
hold on to that with both?
Isn't that like a newsboy hat? Is that what they call them?
I believe it is most often referred to as a flat cap.
Oh,
I think a newsboy cap would be not inaccurate. I'd be tempted to call it a Kangle, but I don't think it actually is. So I don't think that's accurate. I think a flat cap.
I've got a couple hats like that myself. I wear them sometimes.
I like those hats.
Yeah.
That beard. I mean. You look way older and more bitter than the last time I saw you. Like, you've been through some shit, man. And that beard.
I think he looks fine.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's very different. Like, I did have a minute of, because I was like, is this going to be a picture of a hat or a picture of him wearing a hat? And I opened it up, and for a second, I was like, no, it's a picture of somebody else wearing a hat. And then I was like, holy shit, that's him.
Yeah.
That beard. I mean, I am not one of those like big bushy bearded, but I'm impressed with that beard. I'm maybe a little envious of that beard. You got some work there.
Well, what do you think of his hat though? That's what he's asking.
I like it. I like it fine. It's no beard. It's a good hat. It's a nice tweed flat cap. It's good. I'd like one. And I think pretty soon I'm going to have to start getting more into hats or else I'm going to get skin cancer on top of my head.
I wonder what other kind of hats Azure Talon has. Some people don't think they look good in hats. And then like, I'll be with them somewhere and I'll say, here, try this. Oh, I don't look good in hats, they say. So I'll try this on. And they look great in it.
I want to be into hats. I don't think it's that I don't think I look good in them. I think I don't like having shit on my head.
Well, I love hats, obviously, but
I love hats conceptually, but and I've tried. In fact, I spent my college years wearing one of those Australian leather. It kind of looks like a Stetson, but they're sort of Australian and sometimes they're pushed up on. I had one of those that I bought at the Oregon State Fair, and I wore that and a gray trench coat all through college and was known for it.
I mean, I don't know if I have never even thought about whether or not I look good in hats. I just wear them. I don't care.
I forget cool. You have a top of your head.
Yeah.
I've seen it. This is scary. We have been friends for close to 20 years.
It's been a long time, yeah.
I'm betting I've seen the actual bare top of your head fewer than I can count on.
I didn't wear a hat at work. And I kept really short hair.
That is true. That is true.
I kept really short hair for a long time. So you didn't just see the top of my head. You saw
when I think about your haircut when I first met you, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was like Brillo pad short, yep. Kind of like that was weird.
Yep. Yep.
I really liked when your hair was really long.
I know.
I get why you cut it, but I thought that was a really good look for you.
Lots of people didn't want me to cut it, but
that beard though. I'm impressed. What's your secret? Do you oil that motherfucker? Or do you wax the tips? You ever braid it? I'm into that. I mean, you could get beads in there and get some Scottish Highland, you know, fantasy dwarf business going. That could be good.
I can't really grow a good beard. Never have been able to.
I can't grow a good face, which is why I keep the beard. Trish has never seen me without the beard. You have never seen me without the beard. None of our regular listeners have seen me without the beard. I do wonder these days, but I like the beard. I just like it. Same thing with glasses. At a certain point, I was like, you know, maybe I should do LASIK. And then I was like, I think I look better with glasses.
So it's the same to me.
I mean, I can't tell the difference right now because now I can't see myself because it's just blurry. But I don't know. I will on occasion wear them. And I'm not saying I look terrible without them. I just think I look better with glasses. What do you think, listeners and family members of listeners? How do I look better? With or without?
I mean, you look
with.
You look different without them, obviously. I mean, if you were in a store and we were just walking around shopping and two people who are trying to ignore everyone around them, like people often do, just you without your glasses on, I might not think to look over and say, hey, it's Tony. That's how different you look.
That is extremely useful information. I will keep that in mind.
Yes. Shit.
And it's perfect too, because if you happen to notice, I'll be like, sorry, I didn't see you. I'm totally blind like this.
CIA people who are experts in, you know, disguise and things like that, they'll say it doesn't really take much. You change a little thing and, you know, people will overlook you or pay attention to you in a different way.
I was wondering something the other day. So, post-COVID world, we're in a COVID world now. We got to COVID. It's all over the place. One of the effects of that is, although it is not at all universal, even less so now, and I'd say is less common, but still totally common, and people don't really bat an eye if you wear a face mask in places.
Right.
And some places I do, some places I don't, very whatever. But like nobody ever looks at me weird or anything like that. Has anyone tried wearing a face mask and maybe a pair of fake glasses to rob a bank?
I don't know.
It seems brilliant to me because you always want to like hide your face, but then you always got to really fucking hurry because you walk in a goddamn gorilla mask. Or, I mean, at this point, if you've got the beanie cap on and like a bandana and like wrap around sunglasses, we all know you're gonna rob the bank. Like if I'm a security guard there, I'm like, that's the dude I am watching. But if it's just me and or somebody and they put on fake glasses because that'll help and wear face mask, you can take all the time you need and walk up to them. You're like, yes, I'm robbing the bank, and they'll be like, I'm sorry, what did you say? And you're saying, I'm sorry, I'm robbing the bank, and they'll be like, I can't, sorry, the mask, can you speak up? They're like, I'm robbing the bank, and then they have your voice on recording and then they can track you. So maybe that's the real issue. I finally put it together that it was wearing my mask that did it. So many people lately have been mishearing my last name as Carson. And I would say more than 3 years ago, it had never happened ever that way. People have misheard my name in other ways, but never Carson. But Carson suddenly is all the time. And I think I figured out it's when I'm wearing the face mask. The plosive doesn't come across in the same way.
Hmm. Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
We don't have any more questions. What else is going on? Are we done?
We are out of questions. I mean, once again, it's the end of the podcast. So I'm sorry that this is the year that all of our listeners did bring their families in to listen as a family to this. I'm sorry to say, if you like this, too bad, because this is the end. Although there are 11 earlier Thanksgiving episodes you could listen to. And then you could decide if you like their earlier stuff better or not.
Well, what's your family doing when you get together, dude? Because I think I've asked you this before, but I don't remember if they don't watch football or anything like that. Or,
I mean, they definitely will watch some football.
Oh, okay.
They will also watch some Hallmark holiday movies.
Mm.
My mother-in-law really wants to see the new Tim Allen Santa Claus series.
Santa Clauses or something?
Yeah, but she doesn't have Disney Plus. So we may take, we have a Roku TV, but on the other TV, we have a Roku device. And we take it a lot when we travel because you just plug it into a TV. And as long as there's Wi-Fi, you've got all your streaming services right there. So I think we may take that and just plug it into their TV for that. And just in general, we have all the services except Paramount. So they can watch things that they couldn't watch otherwise because they don't have.
Over in Des Moines, there's going to be some times this season when you can go watch in the theater. You can watch It's a Wonderful Life. I wish I could do that, but I don't think I'm going to be able to.
You ever watch the TV movie Distaff version of that? I forget what it was called. Essentially It's a Wonderful Life, but it was a slightly more modern. It was like in the 70s or something. And it was a woman for George Bailey instead.
Oh.
And mostly all I remember about it is the guy who played Trapper John in the MASH TV show was her, ended up being her husband. And all I can remember is that in the part where she was never born, she goes to see him and he's a mechanic and he's kind of like, he doesn't recognize her, obviously, but he's also like kind of sleazy to her and like tries to hit on her.
Oh, no.
And that's literally the only thing I remember about it. And in fact, I can't remember who the lead was. And it was an actor of note. Like if I said the name, you would know what name, but I can't remember who it was. You know what I found out the other day?
What's that?
Apparently, at least in some people's definitions, the movie The Others, you remember The Others, the Nicole Kidman ghost story movie?
Seen it many times.
Was one of my scariest movies for years. Because it's just loaded with jump scares. Apparently, that's technically an adaptation of Turn of the Screw. I'm like, it's kind of a loose interpretation. Basically, it's big house, two kids, one boy, one girl. That's sort of the only real connection there, but there it is.
Wasn't the guy who did that the same guy that did Vanilla Sky? And he did a few things. He was.
I'm like, going to go ahead and say sure. I've no idea.
I'm just saying whoever did that movie at the time, they'd done some other things that were fairly critically lauded, and I think people thought he was going to be sort of a big deal, but I don't know what else he's done since then. I think he was a Spanish director.
Well, okay, so then Vanilla Sky or Open Your Eyes? Except it's the same one who did both, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
I always find that amazing. I've talked before about when they have to do an American remake of a movie because we can't cope.
Yeah.
But it's especially fun when the same director does it, which has happened in a handful of times.
Do you think that would happen now? Because Netflix has really opened up people to foreign films. Do you think, like,
I think it's literally happened in the last year or so. I don't remember what movie, but I think it's happened.
Never mind then.
Cameron Crowe directed Vanilla Sky.
Oh, that's not who I was thinking of. So the Spanish director was different.
I think so.
Well, but still, he's the guy that did that Nicole Kidman movie, I'm pretty sure.
Let's find out. This is a whole new era for us here when we don't have emails. I looked shit up.
I thought the same director did the English or English language
version. So did I.
Sure of it.
You probably told me, so that's why I believe
that. Yeah, that's right. I probably did.
Alejandro Amenabar. And he did Open Your Eyes, yeah. Oh! That's not what carried on to Vanilla Sky. Penelope Cruz was in both of them.
She was?
Yeah. And she wasn't, I mean, Cameron Diaz was like the female lead, but the second lead was her. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's not right. Nope, looks like he is doing a lot of shit in Spain.
Just in Spain, okay.
Yeah, because he's got something every couple of years. As a director. And mostly the same writer. Oh, and he apparently got credit on Vanilla Sky. He got partial writing credit, I think. So.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that scared the shit out of me. But yeah, I was recently watching a thing that referenced it, and they said it's a loose adaptation of Turn of the Screw, and I was like...
It's pretty loose, yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty loose adaptation.
I think the same video made me really want to check out The Innocents, which is a very old actual adaptation of Turn of the Screw.
Mm.
Old black and white one. Kind of famous, I think. It was one of those Walt Kutcher videos, and it was about some of the, it was a list of the scariest ghosts in horror movies. And a lot of them were not incredibly obvious. Like one of them was the clapping hands in The Conjuring. There's a scene where the mom in that, I don't remember the actor's name, but she hears somebody clapping. And she ends up down in the basement, and it's really dark, and she's looking with a light, and there's just two hands that just clap and scare the shit out of her.
Yeah. Lily Tyler, see. I want to say.
Lily Tyler. There we go. That one got one. And actually, The Ghost of Christmas Future from Muppet Christmas Carol was in there. Specifically that one. I'm like, really? Not the Albert Finney one? But nope, Muppet one. But then they showed clips, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty fucking scary. He kind of had Muppet hands, but. But then the last one on the list was The Ghost from The Innocents. And it's very lo-fi and stuff, but like it's always from a distance. And so like it can move weird and stuff. And it's pretty cool. I mean, I think this episode might get us canceled. Has anyone ever been canceled because everybody was just bored with them?
Well, I told you what things I could talk about if we really needed it. And I think you didn't.
Is there seriously a season 10?
Yeah, it just started. When this airs, will have started last week. This week is because episode 2 would have been this week.
Earlier, because my life has been insane. such that recording this counts as me taking a break from the shit I'm doing. That's how bad this is. I told William, I'm like, you're going to have to handle all the being entertaining, which I expected would result in William freaking the fuck out, changing his name, moving to another country, whatever. William gets spooked at the merest hint of him shouldering any of the weight for this podcast.
Right.
Ever.
Correct.
He is a nameless, faceless, silent passenger in this endeavor. and he never wants me to forget it. But to my surprise, he was like, no problem. I've got the entertaining down. We are going to have two solid hours talking about season 10 of what is again? The Curse Children of Oak Island.
The Curse of Pirates Oak
of Oak Island. The Smurfs Visit Oak Island. Whatever it is. The Curse. The Curse of Michael Myers' Oak Island. Yeah. So it hasn't happened yet.
No, so again, when people see this, it'll have been a week ago. But before our last, the Tuesday before our last podcast was the 2-hour premiere of season 10. And we were able to watch it on Wednesday because we don't watch it when it airs. We watch it when it is available on Amazon Prime, which is the next day. So right. Wednesdays is when we're going to be watching Oak Island, right? The day before the podcast.
I don't want to spoil. Did they find the money pit?
Well,
I mean, maybe they're going to do a quick 180. I think because we have established over 9 seasons and just the way the world works, that the money pit absolutely 100% is imaginary, does not exist, never has existed. Everybody is just wasting their time and viewers' time. But, you know, maybe season 10 twist. Maybe this is what it's all been building up to.
Maybe.
Same cast?
Same cast. I mean, same people that have been doing it for, yeah,
10 and they years. Didn't have to recast it. I would think around season 9, some of them would be like, I need to move on with my career.
I mean, there are people who have been on the show who aren't. Dan Blankenship, for example, passed away.
Is Ted McGinley on the show yet?
Who? What?
Really? Oh, I thought you'd have.
Who are you talking about? I don't know.
Ted McGinley is a well-known actor. You have seen him in many television shows and movies over the years. Mm-hmm. What he is best known for, however, is since the 60s, being brought into shows when they are in decline. Most famously, his first foray into this, which is when he came on to Happy Days as Richie's cousin Roger, when Ron Howard wanted to get the fuck out of Happy Days. Oh. But he also came in as a new husband of the neighbor on Married with Children. I believe he came in as a lawyer in late season LA Law. It's like a thing. That when your show is on the, like your last Hail Mary is just always to put Ted McGinley.
No, nothing like that.
All right. So it's still got some legs. All right.
Yeah. One of the famous searchers was in earlier seasons and he died because he was a very old man.
And not that famous.
Actually, I think so.
So this made up show looking for shit that doesn't exist on a tiny island off the coast of Canada has gone on long enough for one of the dudes in it to die.
I think technically
of
two
being because, like old.
Yeah, I think technically two because so there are several like eras in the search and the last era, the last era before the era that is that is now, which is the History Channel show or whatever. There were two guys that were kind of rivals in searching for this thing. And they were both alive when the show started, but they both have died since the show started.
Never found the money.
The son of one of them was on the show for a while.
Then he stopped
being on it. And then the son of the other one is on the show now. I don't know what that's about.
It means it needs money. So it's currently on Amazon, right? You said
you can get it on Amazon. Yeah.
Well, cause I had heard Paramount's going to take over and they're going to do a bunch of spinoffs. So Curse of Oak Island, Brave New Worlds, Curse of Oak Island, Lower Decks, Curse of Oak Island, Prodigy, Curse of Oak Island, Picard, Curse of Oak Island, Discovery. Did I miss any? Why are there so many Star Trek shows?
I don't know, because people will watch them. You know, why are there so many Marvel shows and Star Wars shows right now? People watch them.
I suppose. I don't.
And if they don't, they'll stop making them.
Or did you watch Prodigy? The kid one? It's animated. I mean,
I've seen... Well, okay, so my interest in it... It's animated, right?
It is animated.
My interest in it is Kate Mulgrew.
Yeah, voices a character. It is.
So I do kind of want to see it. We did see the first one, and she like shows up in the first one, like at the very end, as a hologram or whatever.
Yeah.
It was all right, but I mean, it was just all right.
Here's the thing: I didn't know the show existed, and then YouTube tossed me a trailer for season two, and it looked really amazing, and like nuanced and complicated and lore heavy, and it looked right up my alley. Like, if I ever get Paramount Plus, I'm going to watch Lower Decks, and I'm probably going to watch Prodigy. I don't think I'm going to watch any of the others.
I mean, I think they're all right. I've enjoyed watching
them. I'm sure they are. Yeah. I want new shit. I've seen a lot of Star Trek. I don't need more Star Trek. It's the same with all of this shit. I don't need more Batman. I don't need more Spidersman. I don't need more Dune. I don't need, like, give me new shit. I get, like, novelty, and it feels bad, and it feels like what is wrong with modern society, but I really crave novelty now. I'm so tired. When I feel the need for comfort food viewing, you know what I watch? Shit I've already seen. I don't need more Star Trek. If I'm in the mood for something familiar and comforting, I'll just watch Star Trek.
Sure. Again. But I mean,
I want new stuff.
If you look at it from the industry's standpoint, statistically speaking, there's far more new stuff than there is rehashed stuff. And the new stuff is, I mean, people can say all they want that they want to watch it, and some people are watching it, but not very many people are watching
it. Well, and it depends on what it is. New stuff might fail, and you got to watch out for that. And if it doesn't fail, then you want to make more of it. People in the industry want to make the safest bets they can. I get that.
That's what's happening. Yeah.
And this is very weird, because you and I have had this exact conversation many times and we were on opposite sides. I am not confused about why it happens in the industry. And I don't, to a degree, begrudge the industry for making that call, because their job is to make money, not to keep me happy. What I don't understand is how, even as a staunch atheist, the universe can be so random, cruel, and unfeeling as to let this happen. That's what I'm
saying. I mean, I don't mind new stories with familiar characters at all. They just don't tell new stories. I think that
can be really fun, but
they just don't often tell new stories. They're the same stories with the same characters, really. So,
and or there's sequels that were never meant to exist and retroactively harmed the self-contained story of whatever the original was.
Yeah.
It happens all the time where I'm like, that movie was really good. The sequel was bad, and the sequel created things that retroactively make the first one bad in context. Sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes you get an Assassin's Creed video game and you're like, this is awesome. And then you get 100 more of them that all show you how the first one actually kind of sucked. But so, you didn't know that at the time.
Now that it's the season, are you going to watch the Christmas Story sequel thingy? You going to watch that?
Oh, God, no. I'm angry about that.
Oh, you are?
I thought we talked about this. Yes. Yes, I'm angry about it.
Did you say that you were angry about it? And I forgot. Think so. Well, tell me what you're angry about. Maybe I'll remember.
Life. humanity.
School fries my brain and I forget things. It's really awful.
No. So in my younger days, I guess not too young because the movie's not that old, weirdly. I was a very big fan of A Christmas Story.
Yep. You did talk about this.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think it holds up super well. It's also a little more dark and disturbing the more you think about it. And traumatizing. I have seen a fairly compelling argument that the kid from Toy Story grows up to be the guy from Fight Club. And it actually works. I mean, it's not airtight by any means, but it works surprisingly well. Like, character traits and attitudes, like, it's there's a very serious thing from that. But again, all of its strengths are based around it being a vignette, it being a self-contained slice of life from that period. Continuing the saga is something I hate in general, but very specifically here, I think you're not going to get a good follow-up story, and it's not going, it's just, this kind of,
I mean,
just,
do you feel that
also,
way?
For the record, it's not the first sequel.
No, it isn't.
They actually made A Christmas Story 2. Nobody saw it, and it was awful. And this is not the third one. This is a different sequel because nobody saw the other one, and it was awful.
Actually, there's several TV shows and made for TV movies that are supposed to be about this family, and different people play the characters and everything.
Yeah, it doesn't do it for me. Well, here, I'll give you a sign of how I feel about this. Not that any of this is new to anybody's listening, but when your families are listening, gathered around the Bluetooth speaker, they don't know this about me. But last week, you should go listen last week. Great episode. like all of them. I talked about watching the new Hellraiser.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it more than I suspected I would enjoy it. And it does, it's definitely a reboot. Like, certain aspects are sort of different and whatever. The thing I liked the least about it, there are several places where they, in my opinion, shoehorned in like famous lines from the Hellraiser movies that we all know, if we know the Hellraiser movies. And I'm like, I get it. It's not, why would I care? And it sounds like every single time it's like, you know what? Trying to stick a line from a whole different script from decades ago into your modern reboot makes the line sound weird. Like, I mean, I want to test this. I want to find somebody who's never seen any Hellraiser stuff, show them that movie, and be like, raise your hand every time you hear a line that sounds out of place to you. And I'll bet you a lot of them will be like, yep, that was a famous line they said in the other one.
I mean, I've been in situations like that before where I'm watching some reboot because other people liked the original. And I didn't see the original, but I always know when they're saying a line from the original. You always can tell. And it's not because people around me are reacting. It's because the way they edit the actual, you know, like, okay, we have to put a lot of space on either side of this line so the audience gets it and can react. And so you, as the person who doesn't know, you know. It's like, oh, that's probably from the
original. This is very fascinating because I have never had that experience, including now. I don't think I ever watch anything that I haven't seen the first one on me. But this is the first time I have noticed that. In the other ones, I roll my eyes because I'm like, I don't care about the line. But this time I was like, also, that line feels very weird here if you don't know it's a line. So it's interesting to know that apparently that is the thing.
At least once that's happened to me where I'm watching some reboot with someone and I can tell every single time. In fact, I'd ask, I said, is that from the original movie or something? And they go, yeah, it is. It's like, what?
Why? And to be fair, like, a lot of, especially when it's a thing, when it's like, here, have this jacket. It's like, why the fuck do they care about the jacket? And it's like, oh yeah. But what I love, Marvel does a lot of these ones. They do ones that me having seen everything still don't get because it's so insignificant. Like I said, Jacket, I was thinking of Black Widow in her solo movie. We had a big thing about this vest that apparently was how she got a vest that she wore in Endgame. But like, it wasn't a snazzy, it wasn't fucking Technicolor Dream Vest here. It was just a vest. So you're right. So this is the thing. So when they were doing that, I'm like, I didn't recognize that that's what this is, but the way they handled it, I'm like, she's worn this before, hasn't she? This is a thing.
You're supposed to notice this.
And it wasn't until, and I didn't know the context until I saw the pitch meeting. They're like, oh yeah, she wore it in this. That's how she got that vest. Or Solo was full of that. And some of them I knew, like the Kessel Run and all that, but they also had like dice hanging from the thing. And that's, and I'm like, I don't remember that. And then weird shit, like how he got his last name, which I'm like, yeah, I assumed the backstory on that was parents, like, you know, every last name ever, but no, it had to be a whole story.
Yeah, that was really weird. I don't know why they did that one.
There was a whole, it's always that. I mean, Star Wars is sort of the original of that bullshit of every reference we made in the past. We're going to pay it off later, so you know where that came from. And, like, as much as I liked Solo, it was some of the worst marketing for the character of Han Solo ever, Rise of Skywalker notwithstanding. Come on. Rise of Skywalker just had a, let's be honest, definitely stoned out of his mind Harrison Ford just sort of wander on in his outfit and talk to Adam Driver, and I don't even think they could bother. It was like, are you a ghost or anything? Like, eh. Like, I don't even think they answered it. Like, but yeah, and we all crave nostalgia, and I get that, and I have the same problem sometimes, but I don't know. I'm at the point where I can see the strings. More and more, we're seeing trailers, and Trish is like, I'm really excited for that. And I'm like, yeah, you can see that on your own. I'm like, I'm not going to get anything out of that. It's clearly a movie or a show that's designed to, like, even recently, there was a cooking show that was going to be on. And she was like, check this out. This looks really cool. And I'm like, yeah, you and your sister should watch that. I'm like, because it's very clearly just a cooking show that's going to come up with a lot of reasons to try and make me cry. It's a lot of people hugging and talking about how hard they've worked to get here. And I'm just like, and that's like, that's the branding. Like, we did not focus at all on the food. And I'm like, yeah, I like a good cooking show, but that's clearly not what's going to happen here. It's like, I like hearing people sing too, but I don't watch The Voice because most of The Voice is just hearing how they're doing this for their dead uncle who always loved music or, you know, whatever else. If you're wondering, Jazz, no, I'm not okay. But pretty much just for the same reason before, you don't have to email. It's the usual. By this point, I'm probably fine because I'm probably super full of turkey. Which, actually, I don't like turkey too well. Let me rephrase. Super full of stuffing and pie.
Pie.
And maybe broccoli rice casserole. My... Trish's family in general has very specific dishes for specific holidays in weird ways that I don't understand. If you had asked me what are the foods at Thanksgiving dinner and what are the foods at Thanksgiving or at Christmas dinner, I would have said this. I couldn't have told you, like, this is only at Thanksgiving, this is only at Christmas. For my family, for Trish's family. But I've since learned, I'm like, oh, are we having such and such? And they're like, no, we have that for the other holiday. I'm like, really? So there's a thing called broccoli rice casserole that my mother-in-law makes that I love, but I can't ever remember if it's a Thanksgiving one or a Christmas one. And also, I don't think as a family it's one of the most popular ones, so if I mention it because I'm her favorite child, I'll usually get it. But I don't like doing that. I don't like mentioning it and then somebody makes an entire extra casserole because I said something. Like, that's no good. But so I can't remember I'll have it or not, but I'll be very excited if I do because it's tasty. All right, let's get out of here. The rest of y'all, it's time for pie. Go Go have pie. If you had pie earlier, that's fine. Totally fine. Have some more. Pie.
Pie's great.
My mother-in-law was texting my wife. It was like, what pie? Anybody want to request pies? Because people have specific taste tests about pies, and frequently they work around it. Like, there'll be pumpkin pie, but then there's like a blueberry pie because my sister-in-law likes fruit pies, and then somebody else wants, and all this stuff. And so she asked me, and I'm just like, I like every pie. Like, I guess if you had wanted me to pick my favorite or whatever, or like something that I really would like to have, is pumpkin pie. But I know for a fact there's going to be pumpkin pie, because there's always pumpkin pie. Like, when you're making the list of pies for Thanksgiving, that's the first one on it. And I know other people in the house, so. But also, if for some reason there wasn't pumpkin pie, I'd be like, oh no, all I've got is blueberry, French silk, peanut butter that somebody made, apple. Oh dear. It's pie. I guess you could argue that I'm not a huge fan of mincemeat pies. But I think even then, if somebody made a like real traditional one and put like the suet in it and everything, I think I might be into that. The ones that I've had before, which are just like somebody filled a pie crust with molasses and some raisins and just like so much ground cloves that your mouth puckers up. Like, I'm not super into that. But also, nobody fucking does that. Nobody makes a mince. If you made a mincemeat pie for Thanksgiving, tell us about it in the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. It doesn't have to be our regular listeners. If you're our listener's parent or sibling and you made a mincemeat pie, go to the blog and tell us about it. I would love to hear the state of mincemeat pies in America in 2022, because I don't know. And there are so few things I don't know. So that'd be great. But yeah, I was like, I'm not going to request a pie. I'm going to request there be pie, and there will be. There'll be too much pie. There always is. There's always, there have been years where we have come real darn close to, over the course of a 4-day holiday, more than one full pie per person present.
Wow.
That was too many pies.
Well, I don't know.
Is there ever too many? Okay. You are over 50. You have finally hit the point in your life that you had. Do you know how many carbs there are in pie, William?
No.
There's a lot of, all the carbs are in pie. That's where most carbs hang out. A few hang out in cake and ice cream, but most carbs hang out in pie.
I
think I read one of 65% of all the world's carbs are in pies currently. So anyway, tell us about your Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Ours clearly wasn't interesting. Next week, we're going to get a hell of a story from Mr. Man over here. I'm excited for that.
I mean, if I'm alive still.
Either way, I'm excited. For different reasons, but either way. But so it's the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Saturday after people see this or hear it or whatever.
Okay, so like just a few days. So by the time I see you for lunch, by the way, those of you who keep trying to backdoor your way into invites with pancakes and shit, you could do like Dave Avid did. He just fucking emailed us and was like, I'm in Iowa City a lot. You want to have lunch? And both of us don't have the balls to be like, no, Dave, we don't really like you. We'd rather not hang out. We both are too socially fragile. So we said, sure. And David gets to have lunch with us now. He's probably not even going to pay for it. That's all you have to do is force us into it. It's great. But anyway, so by the time I see you for that, assuming I do see you, you will have gone through that. I am excited.
I will have been through it, yes.
I am suddenly more excited for that lunch.
Okay.
Even though you'll be there.
I look forward to seeing Dave for lunch. That'll be nice.
I do too. Make a breath of fresh air from my usual lunch partner. That was a shot at William, as most things I say on here. I'm literally going to lunch with someone else.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I mean, I guess it'll have passed by this, but I didn't mean you. I didn't mean you. I specifically meant. I occasionally have lunch with other people. That was a joke just at William. The rest of you are fine. I only hate having lunch with him. And even then, if the food's good, I'll deal. Anyway, hey, if all your family's listening, before you go, do me a favor, go to smashwords.com and look up a book called Odd Wings, all one word, and then buy it. It's great. You should read it. I wrote it, and it's good. It's also great, like I said, and you should read it, like I said. It's available in every different electronic format possible, and you could also just buy it and download the PDF and print that out if you're that weird. But I wouldn't recommend doing that. Just read it on a device. Also, go to aethertheater.com. Ask your children and loved ones how to spell that. Where you can find all of the things. William's Mind Palace is at that address. Yeah. Just all of his stuff. If any of you ever saw the very scary Firuza Balk vehicle Return to Oz, and there's that bit where she's going through Mombi's castle and she's got all the different heads in jars, that's basically aethertheater.com. But instead of heads in jars, it's books, movies, short stories, web comics. Dude's done a lot of stuff. I don't know why, but he's done a lot of stuff. Go check it out. It's like one of those small local museums of weird shit. And like, you don't ever need to see it more than once, but you can't not see it once. So aethertheater.com, check that out. Also, there might still be some pretty serious blasphemy buried in there somewhere. I know he changed the tagline, but it could be hiding. It could be a place you forgot.
Maybe.
All right. That's it. Listen again next week. We'll have like a normal episode again. And in the meantime, take some Gas X and some Pepto-Bismol. You'll be fine.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.